Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, we're going to put a heavy focus on the national sports front. I know there's a lot going on as far as the NFL goes, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But it is Monday, so we will be joined by Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher, joins us every Monday to talk baseball all around, everything that's happening within the big league ranks. There's a lot of fun stuff in the National League, including that National League West. The Rockies will not go away. They pick up a couple of big wins over the Dodgers over the weekend. Tonight, a couple of interesting pitching matchups. But also, this will directly relate to Bill Lasky, because he is now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants, and Barry Bonds had his number retired over the weekend. What's the reception like for Barry Bonds, and is he inching closer to the Hall of Fame? Does he belong in Cooperstown? We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. While the NFL preseason is fun, it is loaded with hyperbole, and there are some actual storylines going on right now in the NBA. In fact, Carmelo Anthony is now officially a member of the Houston Rockets, but that was a long, inevitable situation, wasn't it? The whole buyout with the Atlanta Hawks. Well, first you had the buyout with the Thunder, then the buyout with the Hawks, and then eventually signing with the Houston Rockets. A one-year, $2.4 million deal. How much closer are the Rockets to contending with the Golden State Warriors? I say zero. I really don't think this move helps the Rockets. I don't. I've said for the last little while that I think Carmelo Anthony has some ball left in him. I don't see this as a fit. Mike D'Antoni, who was Carmelo's coach when he was in New York, and again, these guys had issues. Melo didn't like D'Antoni. And remember, it was a big deal when the Knicks acquired Carmelo Anthony. D'Antoni says this go-around it's different because he's, quote, just a better fit with the Rockets. Here's Mike D'Antoni from earlier today.
And we'll see. It's a time, and he's open to it. Like you said, his whole goal is just to win. He's open to anything. We went through those scenarios. Could happen. I don't know. We've got some great players on the team, so it's not a slight. He's been one of the best players in the league. He's a gifted offensive player without a doubt. He's going to add to an already potent team. Get excited. I think that, and we have to work some things out. There might be some bumps along the way, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of naysayers that say they can't coexist, but if three guys like that coexist, James and Chris, you got a heck of a good chance.
We'll talk more about this situation a little bit later on. 10-time All-Star, the guy could play once upon a time. This is a very Daryl Morey move. They get him on the cheap. It is low risk, high reward. I just don't think the Rockets are any better with Carmelo. I really don't. Perimeter defense, he'll provide none of that. D'Antoni did say he will come off the bench. Another story coming out of the NBA that I want to talk about a little bit later on in the show. Bruce Bowen, who was the color analyst for the Clippers on TV, he's not coming back next year. His contract's not going to be renewed. And a lot of this has to do, in my eyes, a lot of this has to do with the Clippers' pursuit of Kawhi Leonard, which we know that's exactly what's going to happen. The Clippers want Kawhi. Kawhi wants to be in SoCal. That means the Lakers or the Clippers, and the Clippers are going to make a big push for him. This is what Bruce Bowen said on SiriusXM Radio June 22nd, which many believe this is what led to the demise of his time as a Clipper color analyst. First, here's the quote from Bruce Bowen on the Kawhi Leonard situation in San Antonio. First, it was, well, I was misdiagnosed. Look here, you got $18 million this year, and you think that they're trying to rush you. You didn't play for the most part of the season, and you're the go-to guy. You're the franchise, and you want to say they didn't have your best interest at heart? Are you kidding me? End quote. He also said he thought that Kawhi Leonard was getting bad advice. This is a move designed squarely to keep Kawhi Leonard in the good graces of the Clippers. Hands down, it's that simple. Bruce Bowen's opinion, however, on the topic is warranted. I don't care if he's with the Clippers or not. He joined a radio show as an analyst, and he has ties to the San Antonio Spurs. So his opinion on that particular topic, it is warranted. The Clippers, hey, it's their prerogative. If they don't want to bring him back, they have major say in who sits in the broadcast booth. And this year, it will not be Bruce Bowen. Let's move back over to Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at some of the action. One game earlier today, the Atlanta Braves pick up a big win. They top the Miami Marlins 9-1. Ronald Acuña, he's in the running for the Rookie of the Year conversation out of the National League with Juan Soto with the Washington Nationals. Acuña went yard for a leadoff home run, his 16th of the year.
Chance to put a crooked number up there. It's lined to left center field. That'll get you a crooked number. Suzuki's going to score, making the turn and headed to the plate is Culberson in a good base running job by Duvall, who uses a pop-up slide to get in the third. So it is a good day at the office for Acuña. He drives in two more.
That's game one of a doubleheader. The two teams will meet again in just a bit. In about an hour and a half, those two teams will square off once again. 5 o'clock hour in Major League Baseball, we get the Mets and the Yankees. The White Sox will battle the Tigers. It's the Indians and the Reds, all of those games at 5:10. Homer Bailey's taking the ball for the Reds today. He's 1-9 on the year with a 6.1 ERA. If you have Homer Bailey in fantasy, get rid of him. 5:35 again, game two, Marlins Braves. 6 o'clock hour tonight, the Cardinals play host to the Nationals. Washington trying to rid the sour taste of falling on a walk-off grand slam with two strikes last night to the Cubs. We'll see if the Nationals can battle back from that. They are at 60-58. The Cardinals at 63-55. 6:05 tonight, Zach Greinke and the NL West leading Diamondbacks will take on the Texas Rangers as Bartolo Colon will take the mound. We get the Blue Jays and the Royals at 6:15. 8 o'clock hour tonight, Mariners and A's. Sean Manaea will take the ball for Oakland. Dodgers Giants at 8:10. Great pitching matchup. Madison Bumgarner against Clayton Kershaw. And at 8:10 tonight, it's the Angels and the Padres. We've got a break for just a moment. Local sports update is coming your way. And again, we're going to be joined by Bill Lasky. We'll talk some Major League Baseball and we'll talk stories around the NBA and a little NFL. It's all coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. And it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the junior college athletic scene, where over the weekend, both the men and women USU Eastern soccer squads opened up the 2018 season as they traveled to Ontario, Oregon for a set of exhibition games. The first took place on Friday, and it was the men coming out on top of Blue Mountain Community College 3-1. The women also had no problem picking up a victory in their first exhibition game of the season, they too earning an 8-0 victory over Blue Mountain Community College. Now, the exhibition games will continue. The regular season is still about 9 days away for the women. That'll be on August 22nd as they open up the season on the road against Western Wyoming Community College. The men, on the flip side, they too will open up the season on August 22nd against Western Wyoming Community College. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio this week. We'll catch up with USU Eastern head coach Ammon Bennett, who is entering year 5 at the helm in the semi-new program. Now, we stick with the soccer scene, but we move over to high school, and the Emory Lady Spartans participated in action over the weekend, and their season will continue tomorrow as they travel on the road to take on Payson. The Lady Spartans opened up the season on Thursday as they traveled to Cyprus, and they picked up a hefty 6-1 win. After leading 2-1 at the end of the first half, Emory scored 4 goals in the final half of play. It was Alexis Winters scoring 3 goals. Morgan Herdsman added 2, and Shelby Murdoch added 1. It's going to be an extremely busy week for the Emory Lady Spartan soccer squad again. They will take on Payson tomorrow, and that'll set the stage for what will be a busy week next week on August 21st and 23rd. The Carbon Lady Dinos will open up the soccer season tomorrow as they will play host to Gunnison at 3:30 p.m. That'll be the first of 2 games this week for the Lady Dinos. The second contest will come on Friday. That'll be a road trip to South Summit. Next week will be filled with 2 games as well. Carbon will travel to Union and take on Providence Hall on August 23rd. Both Carbon and Emory football teams participated in the annual scrimmage game for Carbon. It was the blue and white contest on Friday night. For Emory, the black and gold contest on Friday night. Now, with the scrimmage games in the rear view, both teams will focus on the season openers, which will air on Castle Country Radio this weekend. Friday, beginning at 6:30 p.m., tune in to KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. for the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, as the Emory Spartans will take on the Richfield Wildcats. Sonny Buscarini and Travis Anderson will bring you the live play-by-play call, and you will be able to stream it live at castlecountryradio.com. Now, on the flip side, the Carbon Dinos will take on the Manti Templars. Start time for that game is set for 7 p.m., but live coverage will begin at 6:30 on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. And we move over to the national sports scene, where today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll be joined by former Major League Baseball pitcher Bill Lasky. He joins us every Monday to bounce around the Major League ranks to talk about the latest stories. Lasky will be a guest today, and we'll also talk more of the local sports front by recapping a very busy weekend. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback. The kid
is back, back on track, and everybody loves it. We're going to talk some baseball here on Drive Time Sports. It's Monday. We do that every Monday with Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Spent his time with the San Francisco Giants, now serves as an analyst for the Giants, and also the Sacramento Rivercats AAA squad in the Bay Area. Joining us again over the phone right now, Bill Lasky. Bill, a pleasure as always to get you on to talk baseball. Thank you.
Always back to you, too. It's great talking baseball, and what a week it's been. I mean, the AL West is getting tighter. Oakland jumped Seattle. Now they're going to chase Houston. And they got a great homestand coming up. They're playing Seattle as well as Houston. So who knows? In a week, you might have a new AL West leader.
It's possible. It's really possible the way Oakland is playing right now, winning 8 out of their last 10. I would have never have guessed that at the beginning of the year. We'll talk NL West as well, because the Diamondbacks now hold a game lead over the Dodgers. The Giants may be falling off pace a little bit, but the Rockies are back into it. Bill, let's start with the NL West, and we'll start with your San Francisco Giants. Barry Bonds had his number retired over the weekend, and I was reading an interview with Willie Mays saying that Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's a different discussion, I get. But at the same time, when you get your jersey retired for an organization, that is a legendary status. I think often too many players get their numbers retired who don't necessarily deserve it. Because to me, you have to be the best of the best for that award. Barry Bonds was definitely the best of the best when he played. So I'm curious as to your thoughts on the jersey retirement.
Well, I think it was made for him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When Pac Bell Park opened, before they renamed it AT&T, definitely packed the park. Numbers were phenomenal with the Giants. He had over 300 for the San Francisco Giants, 586 home runs in that uniform, 15 years, 7 years with Pittsburgh, 22 years overall in a career. Of course, the question marks on his steroids, but just a phenomenal player. You know, we talk about his hitting. He had 8 gold gloves playing left field all the way back to Pittsburgh Pirate days. Just a phenomenal day. The San Francisco Giants organization put a red carpet treatment, bringing all 5 Hall of Famers there. Juan Marichal, Gaylord Perry, Orlando Cepeda, Willie McCovey. And, of course, you talked about Willie Mays, who wasn't even supposed to speak that day, and stood up and went to the podium and really made a mark for Major League Baseball to probably try to get Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. But every number that the Giants have pretty much put on that wall have been in the Hall of Fame. And what the Giants did, they went to every living Hall of Famer and asked them, would this be okay to do? And every one of them said, yes. They all put the gold star on Barry Bonds. And like I said, it was a great day. Some great people. Jim Leland was there. Eric Davis was there. Some of the Giants, Will Clark, Rob Nen, Kirk Reeder, players that he played along with. And the whole day was just magnificent. And the San Francisco Giants do so well in putting events on like this. And they always roll the red carpet out. And what a great day for Barry Bonds.
Agreed. And again, my co-host tells me all the time, Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player that ever lived. I don't know if I'm ever going to go that far. But the fact is, I think history doesn't look on him as kindly with this newer generation. And I don't know that that's fair, because even before the whole storyline of steroid issues popping up, I mean, Bill, he was a 40-40 guy, for crying out loud. It's not as if he wasn't any good up to that point.
You're right there, too. And you know, when you start reading some of these numbers he's had, you know, 688 intentional walks. That tells you everything right there. Nobody wanted to pitch to him. And there was days where he'd get two or three intentional walks and get one hit or one pitch to hit, and he'd hit it out of the park, and it was just phenomenal. Dusty Baker said something on air. He said, you know, I played with Hank Aaron. I coached Barry Bonds. And they saw the ball like a funnel. It came to them all the time, and it didn't matter what was the pitch, breaking ball, change of fastball. Their eyes were so locked into that baseball. Their vision was so dynamic. And he said Barry Bonds was right there like Henry Aaron.
You know, when we go back to that era, that generation, I guess we can say, because I like to look at things as far as generations go. Barry Bonds, the most feared hitter of our generation. I've always said that for that particular era, you had the left-handed batter in Barry Bonds. You had the right-handed batter in Manny Ramirez. Those were by far the most two feared individuals in the batter's box at that particular time. And I don't know how history's going to remember these two guys, Bill, and that's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, I do a show every Saturday on radio, and we were just dropping numbers down, and then we'd take calls from our listeners, and our phone lines were lit up all day. And what they were doing, they were remembering certain points of his career when he played with the Giants and when he was at the Pirates, when he won the most valuable player. I mean, when you look at all the numbers, National League MVP, 7 times. I mean, that's a dynamic stat right there. 7-time National League MVP. The closest was 3. So you start thinking about all these things, 14 All-Stars. You know, these numbers just don't show up. These numbers are legit. Sure, we talk about the steroids and some of the things that could have enhanced the numbers, but as you said, 30-30, the base stealing, the on-base percentages were phenomenal, and maybe it is time to open up the gates and let some of these guys in.
Yeah, look, and I don't want any of the listeners to get this twisted, because I am very passionate on this particular topic. Letting someone in who is suspected of steroid use is completely different than letting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. And for some, and I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here, Bill, but for some reason, whenever I talk about steroids and guys that should be in the Hall of Fame and guys that shouldn't, Pete Rose's name gets brought up. That is a completely different situation than what Pete Rose has done. I'm curious to see if you agree with me on that topic as well.
No, I totally agree with you. And when you're managing a team and you're betting on your team, you have all the facets that change that game. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If you're betting on your team, which he did, and he could control the pitching and the hitting, there's ways that you can do that. And that was wrong 100%. And there's nothing that's going to change that. When you look at the steroid use in baseball, it wasn't just one or two guys. There was a lot of players using steroids in that era. And, of course, you know, the speculation always throws it out there with no proof. They always say it. But when I look at Barry Bonds now and I look him back, and the size of the body's totally changed. The dynamic of the person's totally changed. He's totally different now off the field as he was when he played. He never talked to the media. He was always against the media. Now he needs the media. So we'll see if this changes as the Hall of Fame votes get through. And, you know, he's been elected 6 times in 10 years, and the eligibility's coming down toward the end. And, you know, he's going backwards. He's not going forward, as the last vote predicted.
Bill, last question on Barry Bonds before we move on. How important is Cooperstown to him?
I think it's the final road, and I think he looks at his godfather, Willie Mays, and he looks at McCovey, and, you know, the era of that baseball's totally changed than when he was in. And, of course, we look at Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. We go on and on with some of the phenomenal players that we saw in that era. And you just wonder if that door is going to be open, if they're going to let him in. And we'll never know, but I think you hit it right on the head. These guys were players before all that happened. Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh was phenomenal before he came to the Giants. And, you know, the dynamic of hitting a ball, it doesn't matter how big you are, for Eric Gagne to throw 101 to 102 miles an hour, and he center cuts it and hits it out to center field for a home run, that's pretty cool. And Gagne was there, and he came on. He said, you know, one of the fierce hitters I've ever faced was Barry Bonds. And he stepped to the podium, and he said, this man was and probably is the best player he ever faced. And for somebody to come out of the stands and do that, from an L.A. Dodger to come on the Giants ceremony to say stuff like that, there are people and players that know that how fierce of a hitter he was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unlike anything we've seen since. There's no question about that. I mean, we've had great hitters in the game, but nothing like Barry Bonds. Bill, let's move away from the Barry Bonds talk, but we can't stick in the NL West. Things are getting interesting right now. The Dodgers will be without Kenley Jansen for a very long time. The time frame of a month has been floated out. The indefinite, he's out indefinitely as it sits right now. And that definitely came into play in this last series against the Rockies. The Dodgers blew two leads late in the game. That may not happen if you have Kenley Jansen. Are the Dodgers in serious trouble now that they're a game behind the Diamondbacks without one of the top closers in the game?
I think so, because, you know, you look at that closer when you get in that eighth and ninth inning, and Jensen's always been down there, and it's just sad for the game of baseball. This guy's a top-notch closer, and anytime you talk about a heart and the rate of a heart and how much his rate pumps up there as you get going into a game, you know, you're talking life or death here, and you just can't take that opportunity or chance with him. And I just don't think we're going to see him the rest of the year. I really don't. I think that's the safe way of doing it. And they're just going to have to come up with answers to see what's going to be in that closer point. And, you know, you talk about that National League West, Colorado staying in the hunt. The Giants still aren't out of it. You know, they're playing the Dodgers starting today for a three-game series. Then they have Cincinnati and the Mets. So there are some holes that they could fill. Of course, Arizona's playing Texas. And, you know, the American League is the interleague starting with a couple other teams. So there are some holes in the schedule now for the next 10 days where maybe a team could take off. And the Diamondbacks are finally in first place, and we're going to see if the Dodgers can hold on with the great matchup today, Kershaw against Bumgarner in L.A. So that's going to be a good start. And we'll see if the Giants got any life in.
Yeah, it's a classic matchup, no doubt. And it also, with the Dodgers falling off with Jansen and even the Rockies and the Giants, we can't forget about the wild card race. I know we talk about divisions all the time, but the wild card is extremely tight right now in the National League. Philly, right now, they would have one of the spots at 65 wins. Milwaukee would have the other at 64. So both the Dodgers and the Rockies and even the Giants may be in a situation where you either win that division or you're not going to the postseason.
Oh, no doubt about it, and that's every media person here in Northern California saying it. If you can't win the NL West, you're not going to get in a wild card. There's just so many teams ahead of the Giants, as well as Colorado, and you look at Milwaukee, they're still holding on. They're playing good baseball, and you talk about Philadelphia and Atlanta tied right now. Who would ever think that, as we're in the second week of August, both these teams in the hunt to win? And, of course, the Cubs are playing better baseball. So the National League's still up for grabs, and we still got 6 weeks left.
If we move over to the American League, and again, I know we talked about this as we started, but I got to get your thoughts on it. The Oakland A's have just continued to play lights-out baseball, winning 8 out of their last 10 games. That gap is closed to 2.5 on the Astros. But don't forget about Seattle, because that gap is now closed to 4 games as well. You and I talked last week, Bill, about the World Series champs and some of the injury questions that they have. Maybe it's catching up to them a bit. They've lost 4 consecutive games. I don't see a scenario where they don't get into the playoffs, but it's worth noting that they very easily could slip to 3 within the next couple of weeks within their own division if things don't go their way.
And, you know, they were here the first 2 games of the week against the Giants, and Giants gave up home runs late in the game. They could have easily lost 2 more there, and just some bad pitching at the closer part, Will Smith and the young Ray Black throw a fastball to a fastball hitter and ended up losing both those games. But, you know, those top 3 hitters are out of that lineup with injuries, and that's not making that offense gel. So we're going to see how fast they're going to get Altuve back and some of the rest. But that starting rotation is still top guns, and they got a little battle. Colorado's playing them starting tomorrow, And then they come out here for a weekend series against the Oakland A's. And Oakland A's, man, they're hitting some bombs. Chris Davis is on fire. And Chapman, just a great year he's having. You know, you just keep going around and around. And the starting pitching, even though they've had some, you know, strange names in some certain roles, they're still doing fine. Anderson's throwing a ball fine. Jackson's pitching well for him. So they bulked up the bullpen. They got Fernando Rodney. I think that's a good acquisition, and a couple other names down there. So we'll see how much they have left. Oakland A's fans are trying to gather up, get a momentum on this homestand, because they think this homestand is going to be huge for the Oakland A's.
Last thought for you, Bill, here with the Washington Nationals. Lose on a walk-off pinch hit grand slam. I mean, that's a gut-wrenching, that's just a terrible way to go out in a game. They're done, right? I mean, you and I agree on this, they're finished.
I think so. I don't think they got enough life on that team. Harper's still not hitting for average. They're just not scoring enough runs. Scherzer pitched phenomenal in that game. I watched that game, and my mouth was wide open when he hit that grand slam. I wasn't seeing it, and you know, it was just how that whole thing was set up with a couple hits, batsmen with two outs, you know, 1-2 count on him, and he hit a bomb to center field. The excitement of Chicago, all the fans, and that's baseball to me on a Sunday night baseball game. A very cool ending to the game, and I'm hoping a lot of people saw that or got to see the highlight. And if you haven't seen it, go back and take a look at it. That's baseball. That's goosebump baseball. And, you know, it just gets you so excited when those things happen to any player and any team. And the city of Chicago was jumping out of their seats when he hit that grand slam. And it was just fun. All the good night of baseball last night.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Bill Lasky joins us each week to talk some Major League Baseball. Bill, of course, before I let you go, you got to let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, Twitter at Lasky19. We'll be on next week on KNBR. You can dial up KNBR.com and check out our, you can jump on the computer there and hear us. We're on from 9 to noon next week. Cincinnati Reds, so we're going to get some Reds on. We had a nice show this past week. We had Phil Gardner on. He was telling some great Pittsburgh Pirates stories, the We Are Family World Series, and some great names, and Gene Kline's. Jumped on, talked about Roberto Clemente. So we try to bring back some players in the past to talk about their generation, and it's just fun talk of baseball and a good show once again. But, again, hopefully your listeners listen to us every Monday. I enjoy doing it with you, and once again, another great show.
Thanks a lot, Bill. We'll do it again next week.
Excellent. Have a good week, my friend.
And it's Bill Lasky again joining us for our Monday baseball conversation. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. I want to talk odds and ends of the NBA. I know it's football season, but it's preseason football. A lot of hyperbole surrounding the league following the first week of preseason action. Odds and ends of the NBA and also the Kawhi Leonard / Bruce Bowen / Clippers situation. This is weird. Very weird story. We'll talk that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Let's talk odds and ends of the NBA. They say the NBA is a year-round sport. It dies down in August a little bit. We obviously have talked a little bit about the regular season schedule, some of the marquee television games, but there are some other news and notes floating around. Joining us, as he always does, to talk NBA basketball on the show, we have Jameson Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. Thank you again for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Jameson, I'll dive right into it. We'll talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. Bruce Bowen will not return in the broadcast booth to be a part of the Los Angeles Clipper TV broadcast. And a lot of this whole thing stems from some comments that he made about Kawhi Leonard. And let's be honest, the comments that he made, I didn't think there was anything cheap being said, but This reeks of desperation, as far as I'm concerned, with the Los Angeles Clippers. They're firing Bruce Bowen because he was critical of Kawhi Leonard. And this may hurt the organization's chances of acquiring him via free agency this next year if Bowen was to return to the broadcast. It's that simple, right?
It leads me to believe that he was already on the outs to begin with, and they found a reason to get rid of him. Like, usually when stuff like that happens, usually it's like, hey, like, this guy was kind of on the fence already, and this was the last thing that pretty much put over the top. That's what it feels like to me. That being said, of course, if they're interested in Kawhi Leonard next summer like everyone else is, you have to make sure you cover all your bases, and you can't hire a guy who's, you know, has his jersey retired as a Spur, if I'm not mistaken, and that was very critical of the whole Kawhi situation to begin with. That guy cannot be calling your basketball games if you're trying to get that guy. So it makes sense, but at the same time, it leads me to believe there's more involved with it than we're led on to believe, because it seems like to me, from what I'm hearing and the way things are sounding, it seems like a situation where, maybe they had someone else in mind, or maybe they really weren't feeling Bruce, and this thing that had it. Now, the Clippers, here's the thing with the Clippers. No one's talking about, but they're about to become irrelevant. Like, they don't have a player you really turn in to watch. I mean, Lou Williams is a good basketball player, but you're not tuning in to television to watch him. The Clippers are in a very dangerous spot right now. And it would not surprise me. I don't know if it's going to happen next year or after, but the Lakers are trending upwards, the Clippers are trending downwards. If Staples is half empty on a lot of nights, and that upper deck is, you know, not filled or very few people up there, don't be surprised to hear murmurs of Clippers moving to Seattle. Don't be surprised.
Well, that would make sense because of Steve Ballmer. I got this text message over the weekend from a friend of mine in the Bay Area. And I want to get your opinion, your response to this, speaking of the Clippers trending down. This text reads, there will be a point next year where it will be more expensive to see Crossroads High School play than it will be to see the Clippers. Write that down.
I'll do you one better. It'll be, I mean, UCLA has a pretty good team. USC has a very good team, at least on paper. Crossroads, Modern Day, Syracuse, all those high schools, all those schools are more interested to watch the Clippers. No one cares. Like, here's the thing. L.A. is a traditional and a winner's town. So if you're winning, they care. If you're a tradition, they care no matter what. Lakers, Dodgers can lose, you know, 58% of their games, 6% of their games. People are still going to go to the games and still care. USC football, UCLA basketball, people, fans still care no matter what's going on, as long as there's no funny business with the coach or administration or nothing like that. But after that, L.A. is very, very fickle. And very tricky. If you're not a tradition, if you're not a winner, they have nothing to do with you. And the Clippers are, you know, Ballmer's about to find that out. I understand he spent $2 billion on the team. The value, I understand, is all at all-time high for NBA teams. He's going to find out very quickly that this is a different situation. When the Clippers aren't good, that building's going to be half empty. And then the other team that plays in that building has the best player in the league and also, like, three or four young guys that can really play. And they're fun to play, you know, fun to watch play. So it's going to be very interesting for the Clippers in general because they're in a spot where things can get very dangerous for their value very quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about next year's free agency, but there is a big group. I mean, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, all of those guys could in fact hit free agency next year. After watching this offseason, are the Clippers being more calculated, or was the the hire of Jerry West more desperation than anything at this stage in the game for where this franchise was 2 years ago to where they're at right now?
It's something that sounds good. You know what I mean? Hiring Jerry West, it sounds good. But here's the issue. People love going to the Bay Area, playing in the Bay Area, you know, living up there before the recent hike in income and cost of living. People understand, you know, for the most part, Bay Area, people love it up there. L.A., people love playing for Lakers. People like living in L.A., but people like Chris Paul came to L.A. to play for Lakers. Things didn't work out, played for the Clippers, was what it was. But he didn't, like, the original trade was him going to Lakers. You know, guys like playing for the Lakers, they want to recognize now. Guys will play wherever they get paid to, don't not get it twisted. But they're going to have an interesting situation. Lakers have cap room, and they have, you know, LeBron James playing with other young players. So there's some stuff that the Clippers have to compete with. And also, when you think about it, the Clippers are third in their division in terms of destinations, and you can make a sense, you can make argument that Phoenix, all in all, is a better place to play than playing for the Clippers. yeah, it's an interesting situation going forward. Something to keep an eye on. Now, Jerry West, very smart guy. His resume needs no defending. We know what he's about. We know what he's capable of. But this situation is a little different. It's a little bit different because what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing, what's going on, is a situation where he doesn't have the Lakers mystique behind him. He doesn't have the Grizzlies with, you know, some decent pieces there. He doesn't have the Warriors with their young pieces and their industry booming at the right time. He has the Clippers, and no one wants to be a Clipper. Like, no one says, you know what, I want to be a Clipper. Very rarely does that happen. Blake Griffin got drafted there. DeAndre Jordan got drafted there. Chris Paul got forcefully traded there after some other stuff happened. No one has signed as a free agent at the marquee player. Like, you know what? I want to be a Clipper. This is where I want to be. Hasn't happened.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh as we talk NBA basketball. If we stick with the Western Conference, but we switch divisions and we talk about the Denver Nuggets, this is a great sign. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't been cleared for full activity, but he did have successful back surgery, and now he's saying he's pain-free. Boy, I'll tell you, if you're a Denver Nugget fan, if this is a sign of things to come, and I know it's a long road ahead, Jameson, but still, they grabbed a top three player in this draft with the 14th overall pick. They took a flyer on him. That's what they did. If this works out, the Denver Nuggets had a pretty good offseason all the way around.
Oh, their offseason has been pretty good. With that being said, here's the thing. They don't play any defense. They don't have any defensive players on their roster. All their guys can get buckets, and they play a fun-style basketball, but you're basically relying on the altitude to win you about 75% of your games. You're trying to go basically 31-10 at home. And then whatever happens on the road happens. But you're basically trying to win 75% on your, 75% of your home games. If you go 50% on the road or a little bit less than 50%, you're pretty much in the playoffs. The problem with Denver is this. If they don't defend, if they don't win home games, if they're, if they're closer to 60% at home instead of 75, then they're right on the fringe making the playoffs. I'm not a big believer of the Nuggets. I'm not. I've seen this story before. They have a lot of guys that are fun to watch, but very few guys that can actually defend. And it's tough because Jokic is a very good player, very good offensive player, very good passer, has a lot of stats. All the analytical people love him. Really good young player, very good. With that being said, he's a huge defensive liability. So if he's your best guy and you got to take him out of games late or you got to kind of scheme around him, it's tough. Like, it's really tough to win with a guy like that. I just don't know how far they can go if he's going to be their best guy or he's going to be their highest paid guy. I don't know how far they get with him. With that being said, though, they also need a point guard. Because Jamal Murray's not a true point. Garrett Harris is good, but he's not a true point. They got to find a true point guard for the future. We'll see when that takes place.
And we'll end with this. Jameson Carmelo Anthony, now officially a member of the Houston Rockets. Finally, this took a little while, but the buyout with Atlanta, it's completely finished, and now he can resume his career with the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni says that he is a better fit with this Houston Rocket team than he was with the New York Knicks when D'Antoni was there and they had their issues. Is that the right thing to say, or is that factual? Because to me, I don't necessarily believe it's that much different. In fact, I think it may even be worse.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on the roles. Like, in New York, Melo was the number one option. He was the star of the team, face of the franchise. Melo was coming here as just another guy. I mean, 16 years in, role player, can't play a whole lot of minutes, the game being effective. So it's a totally different situation here. They're basically counting on Melo to be a catch-and-shoot guy, maybe a little bit of, offensive creation when some of the other guys are on the bench. But for the most part, like, Melo's not a huge part of this team. If they had offensively, if things got bad and they had to cut Melo in February, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It really wouldn't. But Houston's not done. Houston's going to trade for Bazemore or Batum or someone like that because, they have Ryan Anderson's contract. They don't play Ryan Anderson. There's a lot of other bad contracts around the league. They can pretty much swap. They might throw in a future first-round pick or a couple of second-rounders or whatever. But they're eventually going to get another wing guy. I'd probably say Bazemore. I'd probably say Bazemore, and I could see the Hawks buying out Ryan Anderson. and just trying to go younger and getting up under that money. But yeah, I think the Rockets are eventually getting another wing player, which also decreases Melo's minutes.
As far as acquiring someone else on the wing, they have to. I mean, there's no question about it. They lost way too much in free agency, and Carmelo, to me, it's a Band-Aid. And you bring up the fact that they may just have to, they could outright release him at some point this season. It's not that big of a deal because they're only paying him $2.4 million. Kent Bazemore is interesting. $18 million this year. He's got a player option next season for $19.2. Let's be honest, he's absolutely going to exercise that. There's no way he's going to decline that option because he's not worth $19.2 million. That's an interesting fit, though, Jameson. I like that.
Well, again, there's a lot of interesting contracts in the NBA. I'm not going to say bad. I'm going to say interesting contracts in the NBA. And the way the Rockets play, Ryan Anderson really doesn't fit in to what they do. Like, he doesn't really fit. So, you know, you're pretty much swapping one interesting contract for another, and the Rockets are in a situation where they're trying to win now. Like, there's no wait for next year, wait two more years. Their second-best player is already on borrowed time. Like, Chris Paul's on borrowed time with those knees and that body. So they have to do whatever it takes. The funny part is it's not nearly enough to win. Like, a healthy Warriors team is by far a superior team than the Rockets, and it's not even close.
I agree 100%. Jameson Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Listeners can make sure they follow Jameson for NBA updates, again, year-round, all day, every day. That's at the Jameson on Twitter. Jameson, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Not a problem, except as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.